Mike Krzyzewski joins us. Mike, welcome back to the show. How you doing?
Good yourself, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, I was just listening to that music, a little vintage 80s music. When you played with the Oilers, who was in charge of the locker room music?
I can't remember that far back. But, you know, we were very lucky. We had great guys in there. We had a lot of fun. Great management. People were lucky. You know, the fans were lucky. The city was lucky. I mean, we were winning, so it was a good time to be here.
Oh, I can imagine. Winning always makes it a lot easier. Now, when you come and you've taken part of this, you know, you're part of the NHL alumni, and you've been to a lot of the different events, you know, in Calgary and Edmonton and around for these type of weekends where guys draft you and play on it. How fun is it for you to maybe meet a lot of the fans, some of them who watched you play and maybe some of them whose dad watched you play and they just like to hear the stories?
Well, that's exactly what it is. And then we had just did one. We were in Montreal the other day, and the person sitting next to me was just, you know, you could see him. He was quite excited. I was like, "Hey, man, what's going on?" I'm like, "Man, he's so excited to see you." So he shows me. He goes, "Mike, can I show you a picture?" I was like, "Yeah." So he shows me this picture, and literally, I was, I think, 17 or 18, playing. Must have been 17, playing Junior B in Montreal, okay. In LaSalle, and here was this little kid standing next to me, and here he is. What is it? 17, 20, 30, 40, 57. So 39 years ago, this kid is showing me a picture. I mean, that, you know, that's what it's all about, the smile on their faces. And like you say, probably telling the stories, but more so of clarifying things where the fans will come to you and say, "Hey, this is the way." And I was like, no, that's completely wrong. This is the way it was. And they're like, "Oh, really?" So it's, you know, I think it's, people just want to hear the truth and, you know, the stories behind it and to listen to names. And I think that's what it's all about. And then when we get on the ice, unfortunately, for some reason, the players, the caliber is getting much better. Or maybe I'm just getting a little bit older. But, you know, when the guy, you know, threads a pass or rifles one, and you look at the guy and you're like, "Man, nice play." And you just see the guy with a big smile on his face. And I think that's what it's all about. You know, like a lot of effort gets put into the events and they raise all the money. And I think that's the least that we can do is, you know, tell them a few stories and try to put a smile on someone's face.
Mike Krzyzewski joins us April 29th, 30th, and May 1st, the 2016 edition of Alzheimer's Faceoff. You can go to alzheimersfaceoff.ca if you want to donate to one of the players or take part in it. The draft night is a lot of fun. Guys tell stories for just the players involved. And then the weekend this year, it'll be at Terwilliger Rec Center. If anybody wants to come down, maybe bring in a picture of you and Mike Krzyzewski from the 80s. He'll sign it for sure. Share some stories. Now, you mentioned clarifying stories. Has there one story that over time, maybe that you've heard numerous times, or you had to correct people? No, that wasn't actually how it happened. Is there one that
had a few? Like even the intro of, you know, Gretz, like I was traded to, you know, my trade to LA. So the real trade was Gretz for the 5 first rounders. McSorley went for Zelina. I was the guy that went for the $15 million. The press got that all wrong. You know?
Okay, yeah, well, Pockington didn't value a lot. You know, only $15 million. Wow, you kind of sell yourself short there, Mike.
Oh yeah, it's yeah. Well, that's even another story in itself. So
now that trade itself, when you find out about it, like, what was your initial reaction, and who called you to tell you you were traded?
Well, actually, it was my agent, and I was running a hockey school somewhere in the Eastern Townships. And 2 days prior, there was just a slew of press that show up, and they're like, "Hey, what do you think of the big trade?" I was like, are you kidding me? You can't trade Gretz. That's like, you could trade Marty, you could trade myself, you know, but you can't trade Canada. 2 days later, we're off to L.A., and it was like, are you kidding me? So I remember the agent calling me, and we were in negotiations, so I knew that there was a possibility that I might be traded. And I remember specifically telling my agent, "I'll go anywhere but L.A. And the only reason was because of travel. Like everywhere LA had to go, it was a 2-week road trip, you know, and that was ridiculous. The guys on the East Coast, they wouldn't even go overnight. We would show up and Ron Duguay, well, when we got to LA, Ron Duguay, he shows up for our first trip and I was like, Dukes, where are you going? Like he had two suitcases. He's like, Cruiser, I've never been on a 2-week road trip. I don't know what to bring. So I was like, you know, but that's the amount of travel. So it's like, I'm not going there. And then my agent goes, okay, well, are you sitting down? I'm like, why? He goes, well, you just got traded to LA. I'm like, really? So I'll call you back in 5 minutes. Bang, hang up, went right to a computer, looked at the lineup, and then I was like, oh, okay, well, Gretz, myself, Marty, Bernie, Larry Robinson, John Tonelli, Barry Beck. I was like, hey, man, we got a good team. They're like, we're maybe one or two pieces short. I'm going. So, you know, that was the mindset back then, and came close, but we just didn't get it done out there.
Mike Krushelnicki joining us. Now, you made your debut. Of course, you were drafted by the Boston Bruins in the sixth round in 1979 and then made your NHL debut in 81-82, spent parts of three seasons there. Then you got. Then you came to Edmonton for 84-85. Now, when you're in Boston, you know, you obviously had seen the Islanders more than you'd seen the Edmonton Oilers, but I'm sure you were well aware of it. As maybe disappointed as you were when you got traded to L.A. originally for a few moments, what was your reaction when you went from Boston to Edmonton?
Well, it was funny because the first year, I just, as you were said, I got called up, I think, late February, early March, sat on a bench. They were just trying to acclimatize me and get used to the pace. And then the next 2 years, scored 23. The following year, scored 25. Went in and asked Harry for a $5,000 raise and got traded to Edmonton. I was like, are you kidding me? And literally, I think we only saw back then, some of the teams never got to see each other. So I think obviously Boston had seen Edmonton come in once, but I know Edmonton was not in every city. And, you know, for the longest time, even when I got traded here to Edmonton, there were certain teams that we wouldn't go to. They were just trying to cut down on travel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was just dumbfounded how could the NHL not want to promote one of the better teams, one of the, you know, greatest players? I mean, you got Gretz, Mess, Andy, Kauf, Furzia, this whole team, and you're not sending them to every city and in your NHL. I was just dumbfounded about that one. I still can't figure that one out, but now, I know they were trying to cut costs and this and that, but
yeah. Well, they finally just got it right recently where every team comes into every city. Cause for a long time that didn't even happen. And you came into Edmonton and of course your career year, Mike, was the first year with the Oilers. You won the Stanley Cup that season, but you had 43 goals and 88 points that year. You got to play alongside 99 and 11 and 17 and nine. Was it like your first practice where you were just like, wow, this is very different? Like, how long did it take you to get accustomed to playing how the Oilers played?
No, it's pretty easy. It was just give the puck to Gretz and, you know, get open or try to catch up with Mess and Andy. But, you know, like we were so lucky back then. Everything, like, I was lucky where coming from the Bruins, you know, you still had the old breed of, you know, Terry O'Reilly, Wayne Cashman, Jerry Cheevers, Brad Park. And then fortunately, I catch the new breed, Gretz, Mess and company. So we were just on fire. I mean, you know, you're having a good year because remember the two benches, they were side by side.
Yeah.
And the center ice was right in between us. So I remember I would get the puck from Huddy, get center ice, flip it in the air and change. And I'm sitting on the bench and not one, but two pucks bounce in the net. I mean, you know, you're having a good year when two
twice,
so it's like, wow. But you know, like, the players are phenomenal. I mean, you know, Gretz, I tell a story everywhere where, you know, Gretz is behind the net. And I was like, Gretz, just give me a second. Let me put all my weight on my left foot. And, you know, you'll go from backhand to forehand into my skate. I'll kick it up to my stick. So in a 10-foot circumference, we'll fool the goalie easy. He won't see it coming at all. And sitting there. And as we go out for the next shift, Gretz goes, yeah, you're right, Kush, close your legs. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, close your legs. You got it? I'm like, yeah. I don't have a clue what's going on. And the Gretz gets behind the net, and I was like, oh, now I know exactly what he's talking about. So I go to the far, he gets behind the net, and I go to the far end, and I push off the defenseman, roll, close my legs, and Gretz goes from backhand to forehand, takes a wrist shot off my knee pads in. Now I'm scoring goals, and I don't even have to shoot the puck. Oh, do I love this kid. You know, but we were very fortunate. A lot of great guys. Lee Fogelin, Randy Gregg, Donnie Jackson. You know, the list just went on, and we had a lot of great guys and a lot of great players, and I was lucky enough to be part of it.
Mike Krzyzewski joins us. Mike, tomorrow night, Rexall will close down a final time for NHL hockey. Do you have a vivid memory of the place, maybe off of the ice more so, a funny dressing room story or anything from the old time at the barn?
No, we were, I think all of us, we've got, you know, certain moments in our career. Obviously, the first Stanley Cup, it was, you know, just like the commercial, speechless. You don't know how to put it into words. And I remember coming off the ice and holding the cup and into the locker room and cigar in my mouth, champagne being poured and microphone. CBC puts that microphone right in your, and they're like, well, Kuzer. And I was like, that's effing awesome. I'm like, oh, cut. Let's redo this. I was like, we're live, kid. You just swore coast to coast. And I was like, oh, sorry. So I had to apologize to management. But, you know, just winning it a few years later and seeing Mess throw his gloves and sticks in the air and the expression on Gretz, the smile, and McSorley and Semenk and Yari. I mean, it's, you know, we were very fortunate.
Well, raw emotion, that's what fans want to see from a player after you win a championship. And really, you said what every other person, if they ever won the Stanley Cup for the first time, likely would say the exact same thing, for sure. Now, are you in Edmonton right now, Mike?
I am. I'm actually with our old neighbors, the Chin family. I was lucky enough to come in last night and see my sister Nadine and brother-in-law Jack, so I get to see some of the family, and came back here to see some of our old neighbors, our best friends in Edmonton, and we're off to the hotel later to see meet the guys and get started with the festivities.
Now, was there a skate today for the alumni guys? Like, were you guys on the ice or no?
Not that I know of. Oh, okay. I didn't hear of anything.
Yeah, you didn't bring your gear for this one, did you?
No.
Do you know?
They don't need anybody going that slow.
Do you know what's happening tomorrow for the? You don't have to tell us, but are you aware of it, or is it going to be a big surprise for you what happens in the closing ceremony?
Yeah, no. They've kind of given us a brief outline, but I think we're all going to be surprised. We've just been told, you know, like at this time we're doing this, and at this time we're doing that, and 5 o'clock, and you know, so it's, I think they're trying to keep it a big secret to everybody.
Well,
we'll all be in for a big surprise.
Well, it should be great, Mike, and I know you'll be back in Edmonton later on this month for the Alzheimer's Face-Off Tournament. It's a great time. I know a lot of guys, if they haven't played with you before, very good storyteller, and hands still pretty soft, so if they want a few goals, especially just, you know, if they want to shoot at your knee pads, there's a better chance there as well. So we will see you tomorrow, and then again at the end of the month.
I'm a better passer than scorer, yes, and definitely. Please come on out. I know there's going to be a great group of guys. I know that I was just talking with the office, and Kelly Butchberger, Guy Carboneau, Jason Strutz. I saw him doing a commercial last night shooting pucks, promoting the event. So I know Wendell Clark, Curtis Joseph, Trotz, Marty's coming to town, and Neuendijk. So great lineup, a lot of fun. I guarantee you'll have a great time.
It'll be a great time, Mike. We look forward to seeing you at the end of the month. Appreciate it.
Excellent. Thank you.